But in 2 Peter, he talks to us about some things. Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's me. And that's you if you've been born again.
Amen.
I mean, we receive like precious faith. Now, without faith, there is no growth. Without faith, there is no addition. But there can be addition through faith. And he said in verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, he puts grace and peace on the multiplication table.
Amen.
And multiplies it. Now, I'm glad this morning that the grace of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding can be multiplied in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace be unto you, and that grace and peace that is to be unto you is through the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
It's not by going to Alabama and getting your degree.
No.
It's not going through Auburn and getting your degree.
That's right.
It is through going through God's college of degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, in this chapter, let me point out, Peter has two great concerns. First is that we live useful and fruitful lives for the glory of God. He says it in verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these attributes of God, if these supplements, if you'll have it, are added to your life, they are going to make you. They're not going to just help you. They're going to make you. They're going to form you. They're going to be a formation, foundation in your life that will conform you to the very image of Christ. He has given these graces and has given these things through the knowledge of God. Then he goes on because he says this now, that these things abound in you because he wants your life to be meaningful and your life to be productive. Then he says in verse number 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He wants you to have a productive journey and then a glorious entrance. That's his concern. He wants your journey as you walk with the Lord to be a helpful, happy, productive journey, and then at the close of that journey, he wants you to have a glorious entrance into the kingdom of God. So he comes in verse number 5 and he introduces us to a phrase, and he said, and beside this, given all diligence. And we're going to come back to those three words in a few moments. But I want those words to ring like bells in your heart.
Amen.
Given all diligence, he said, add to your faith. Now you'd already been into the room of multiplication.
Yeah.
Where that God has guaranteed a multiplication of your grace and of your peace. And then he comes into another category into your life. And he said, I want you to not only enjoy the multiplication of God, but I want you to enjoy some addition. And he said, I want you to add to your faith. He wants you to be diligent, but he wants you to know why he wants you to be diligent. Listen closely. Everything that you need to become all that you need to be, God has already given you. Get that. Everything that you need to become everything that you need to be, God has already given. You're not going to have to wait around to get a hold of it. God didn't just save you and throw you out there and say, I hope you can make it. He give you everything. He said in verse number 3, according or seeing as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Now notice that. Now how much has he given us? He has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And he has given us those things through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, get this, don't miss this, this is very heavy, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Then he goes on to say, having, because you have are partakers of the divine nature, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has made a divine deposit into your life. And that deposit is his divine nature. He puts these two verses together for this reason, to show us that God has given us everything that we need to perform godly lives all the way through this world, and then to have a glorious entrance into heaven. You know, that ought to make a Baptist shout. Listen, with God's divine nature, he has provided me with everything I need. He has provided you with everything that you need to make a wonderful journey through this life. I mean, you're not going to just have to hobble along and drag along and say, well, I'm just barely getting by. Well, you're just barely getting by because you're eating the wrong food. Amen. Because God has provided his nature. He has divided his nature, and he wants you to develop into the Christian that is shouting happy and proud that you're a Christian. Shouting Christians.
Amen.
Proud Christian. Thrilled to be a Christian.
I get a little embarrassed at people that get up and drop their head and say, I'm a Christian. I get a little embarrassed at that. You ought to hold your head up. That's the best thing you've ever had. Amen. The best thing ever happened to a poor boy is Christianity coming into his life. Listen, an example that we can understand. Brother Aiden was talking about this morning how that God uses things that we understand to so that we can relate to him. At conception, listen now, a baby receives everything needed to become a human being and a grown adult person. He receives that at conception. There's never a coming back in an addition. And you don't never come back and make a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there. Everything that baby needs is given at conception to become. Now you can't see it. Oh, they can tell now pretty quick if conception has been, but they can't tell what the baby looks like yet. But there is a development period, and there's a development period in the Christian life. There's a development period, and there are some things happens right here that are so spiritual. They're so spiritual and so powerful. But they can take now and look at the development of that new conceived baby, and they can see it as its little arms begins to grow. They can see it as its nails begins to grow. They can see it as it develops and becomes a real live baby. But it takes a development.
Yes.
And in that period of development, there's something else that goes on. There's something else goes on. And that mother has a lot to do with that development of that child. That mother, she don't do the same thing she used to. Every newborn Christian stops, and there's something that it don't do that it used to do.
Amen.
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 Because there's a development. There is a development. And that mother, she don't eat things that she used to eat. She don't drink things she used to drink. She don't do the things she used to do.
Amen.
For the development of that baby, God has placed within every Christian his DNA. He's God our Father. And he makes us of his divine nature. And he develops us. He brings us from the very conception, he brings us to full-grown Christians that glorify and honor and praise him and glorify him. He brings us, he's given us everything that we need to develop. I remember when our firstborn child, I remember the first time they brought it in to the wife, and she took that little baby, and she began to look at it, and she turned it over and she counted its fingers. I think God does the same thing. I think God is so thrilled at every newborn child that he takes it and he hovers over it. He loves it and he looks at it and he wants it to develop and to become a godly Christian man, woman, boy, girl. He wants it to grow up as an adult Christian to honor and to glorify him and to praise him and to leave off some of the things of the world and to exclude some of the things of the world and push away some of the things of the world to honor and to glorify the Lamb of God. Everything that we need, he has given us. He knew that we couldn't make it on our own, so he gave us of his nature. He gave us of his nature. He gave us of his nature that we might be able to carry on. Verse 4 said, whereby are for this reason are given unto us exceeding great and precious
promises. Listen, God, contrary to the thought of mankind today, because man today thinks that God is up there walking around, seeing if he can catch you in something wrong, seeing if you're doing something wrong. God's not doing that. If God wanted to find something wrong with you, all he's got to do is look at you. He's not trying to find something wrong with you. He's trying to find something right with you. God wants us to succeed. God wants us. Now, because of this, God deposited his divine nature down deep in our soul. Here's those three words I wanted you not to forget. He said, beside this, in verse 5, given all diligence. Beside these other attributes, he says, given all diligence. Now, what that really means is applying all effort. Everything that within me is, I ought to be doing the best I can to glorify God. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy in a world of temptation, and the world that Brother Greg taught us about this morning, of Satan and all of his temptation. You ought to have been here and heard that lesson. You need that lesson. You need to understand that you have an adversary. You need to understand that you have someone that's against you, someone that's fighting you. I mean, that washing machine didn't just break down this morning automatically. It's amazing how many things break down on Sunday morning that runs good on Saturday. And it's amazing how many things go wrong on Sunday morning that are right every time else. It's amazing. The kids, while they can just be doing gracious and wonderful all week long, then Sunday morning they get up feeling bad. It's amazing. Amen. It's amazing because, listen, we have an adversary. It's not going to be easy for you to live the life that God has placed you into. It's not going to be easy. Now, we've heard it, and I know that we hear all these television preachers and all of this goodwill gospel, and if you get saved, and all the bills is going to be paid, and you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I know we hear all of that, but it just ain't so. It just ain't so. If you live godly in this present world, you're going to suffer persecution. You better write that down in your day book. You're going to suffer persecution, but you've got a one that'll stand with you and suffer with you. Amen? You've got an adversary, but you also have a present help in a time of need. You have a victor in Jesus. He has come, and in our Sunday school lesson, he said he come this morning to bring salvation. He come to bring salvation, and salvation brings us into a relationship with God that you can't experience outside of that. It's a relationship through salvation that brings you into a born again, a child of God, ready for the journey to glory. Amen. So he said, giving all diligence. Let me tell you this morning that desire is not enough. Desire is not enough. You can desire to lose weight all you want to, but it won't never leave. You'll still be heavy. You can desire to get heavier all you want to. You can desire to quit this, or you can desire to quit that. It won't never happen. There's got to be an application of your faith. There's got to be a working of your faith
in God. A working of your faith in God.
Well, now just how does this work? I'm proud you asked, because we got a biblical application of how diligence works. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That may be one of the most misunderstood and misquoted verses in the Bible, because notice now, he said to work out your salvation. He didn't say work for your salvation, but he said work it out. And the reason he said work it out is because he's put it in. Amen. So he's put it in for you to work out. And you work it out by adding the supplements that he has given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said that he's given to us his divine nature. And he said, add to that divine nature, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and they abound, they make you. Amen. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he said, work out God's plan for your promotion and for your production is a workout plan. God didn't plan for you just to come into the church house and sit down. There's a work program. Now, you can't work and make salvation any better, but you can work in obedience to God. You work out your salvation. You work in obedience to God. A work plan. God wants you to labor and to be obedient to him. Now, it'll be on the work plan, God has schedules. Now, the reason today that so many people are not productive and growing in their Christian life, it's not because of God has not given you the divine nature. It's because you're not feeding that divine nature. That divine nature must be fed. Just like that newborn babe in conception must be fed. If mama don't eat, the baby dies. If you don't feed that nature, you become a dead Christian, living but dead. You're not productive. And that's the reason that you can sit around in the church house and everybody's shouting and praising God and you sitting there dead wondering what's happened. That's it. Because you hadn't been feeding that nature. If you've been feeding it, you might have been feeding it the wrong thing. Because a lot of people wanders off and they'd rather be somewhere else as in the house of God. Now, there's something got to be wrong. There's something got to be wrong. You got to understand there's something wrong if you don't enjoy the Father's presence. If you don't enjoy being over at Daddy's house, there's got to be something wrong over at your house. There got to be something going on. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong over at God's house. And you got that hunger and that thirst after God. And let me tell you, the Bible said, the more you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, then you shall be feeding that divine nature. Because it is made to expand. And the expanse of that divine nature, no one has yet realized.
No one has yet understood the expanse of that divine nature. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher of the old past, last century, when he got up to preach, there was deacons praying in the basement, and the anointing of God was upon him, and there'd always be hundreds of people come and be saved. They said that when he preached, there was such conviction that would fall over the congregation that you could almost cut it with a knife because of the power. But he said, Charles Spurgeon said, that his desire was to know the fullness of God. To know the fullness of God. And you know, that ought to not just be Charles Spurgeon's desire. That ought to be our desire. And that desire can be fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled as we diligently give diligence unto God. And as we search out His will for our lives, and as we walk according to His pace, and as we work out our salvation. And in that work period, and I'm going to close with this, but in that work period, work is not always easy. Work, a lot of times, goes a little contrary to our flesh. There's a lot of mornings when that clock goes off that you would to God that you could just reach over there and hit that alarm and just turn over and go back to sleep. But never so much as Sunday morning. Sunday morning, oh, we're so tired and we're so sleepy that we can just barely slip in, maybe an hour for the Lord. Is that not a little pathetic? Is that not a little bit on the pathetic side? For a God that loved me enough to give His Son to die on the cross, that I wouldn't have to live a life of hell here on earth, and then that I wouldn't have to go to hell, and then I say, God, I believe I'll give you an hour every once in a while, if it's convenient, if there's nowhere else to go, if there's nothing else to do, Lord, I'll just dedicate you an hour. Don't you think you ought to be proud of me? Giving all diligence to serve the Lord, to honor Him with everything that it is in us. Let's serve the Lord. My challenge to you this morning would be, let's quit playing church and let's start serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. We don't come to church because of Brother William. You don't come to church because of sister so-and-so. You come to church because Christ died for you. Christ died for you. Christ died for you. That's the reason I'm here. But because He died for me, listen, one day He's going to bring me up to glory. And I'm going to get to see a glorious entrance into heaven. I may go through the graveyard, but it don't really matter because my ultimate destiny is going to be heaven. Amen. Regardless of whether I go through the woods or the graveyard, it don't matter. I'm going to wind up in glory. Amen. Because He died for me. And because He did, I want to give Him my best. I want to give Him my best. Don't you? Are you giving God your best? Are you doing the best you can? Have you really laid it all on the altar for God? Have you really laid everything on the altar for God? Have you said, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done? Have you said that? If you hadn't, we want to give an invitation this morning. Brother Denver's going to get us a song ready. We're going to stand together. God is speaking to your heart this morning. You know that your life is not on the altar for God. You know that you're holding strains and reins and you're kind of ruling your own life. Would you lay it all on the altar for God this morning and say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done while we stand together.